And I'd like to once again inform you that tonight we are continuing with what I've been sharing with you on the gym of faith. Now, the subject matter on the gym of faith is something that we have spoken several occasions and moments. We spoke on faith in details and in depth. We actually spoke faith, not just as a substantial matter, but we spoke faith as a reality, something that can be believed. Most people who think they have faith, and I'm putting this emphasis for a long time, I spoke about this last time, and I'm also speaking again. Most people who think they have faith, actually, it may happen they do, and it may also happen they don't. And it may also happen they have, but it's little. And we looked at scripture where Jesus spoke to his disciples who thought they had faith. He said, "You of little faith." This is Apostle Peter. This is John. This is James being told he has little faith. Faith comes, faith goes. Because faith is the spirit. Bible tells us that having the same spirit of faith. So faith is a spirit. And it is a character of spirits to come and to go. So if faith is a spirit, faith can come and faith can go. We saw how Peter had faith to walk on water. And he walked on water. But as he was walking on water, faith left him. And he began to sink. And Jesus said, "Why did you doubt?" He began in faith. But eventually the faith disappeared. So the fact that you are born again, or you're God's child, or you're God's servant, does not guarantee you that you have got a constant faith. In the same manner, faith can increase, and faith can decrease. Scripture tells us in Romans 12, verse 3, that God deals with each one of us according to the measure of our faith. Meaning to say, faith can be measured. It can be measured in quantities, in amounts. It can be measured in greatness. That's why faith can be measured. It can be measured in quality. We hear scripture says, poor faith. We saw these scriptures, right? We also saw the scripture that says what? Rich faith. That's quality. The quality of your faith could be poor. Some as I'm here. And the quality of your faith could be what? Rich. So we saw scriptures where the Bible says, and Abraham was not poor in faith. The quality of Abraham's faith was not poor, it was rich. We see the Bible saying what? That Abraham, he was not poor in faith, but he was what? Strong in faith. So faith can be measured. Is it strong faith, poor faith, weak faith? Is it great faith? Is it little faith? So Jesus says, I have never seen great faith like this before in Israel. So faith can be measured. Unfortunately, the collective word for faith is just one word, faith. So when I ask you, do you have faith? Yes. But how is your faith? And to answer that question, ask yourself the following questions. Do I have things that I am praying for that I feel like I have chosen, which I feel they are possible? And I have left out certain things which I feel they are impossible. When you are praying for a house, if you are believing God for a house according to your budget, that's not faith. Hello? That's logic. So you begin to ask yourself questions to say, how is my faith? Do I have certain things I limit God? That's what the Bible says. If you are praying, if you are prophesying, the word prophesying that I told you before, it is not the foretelling where you speak the future. It is a foretelling, because you can foretell in prophetic or you can foretell. To foretell is to speak as a prophet. What will happen in the future? This will happen, that will happen. It's also prophecy. To foretell is when you speak the word with the power. You speak to a mountain, move to the other place. You spoke a prophecy. When Ezekiel said to the dry bones, thy says the Lord, you shall come alive. That is not to foretell, it's to foretell. To speak forth. Prophesy to the dry bones. That is to foretell. To speak forth. And the Bible says this level of prophetic, where you make declarations, by tomorrow I'll buy a house, by next year I'll get married, by what it says, when you are doing that, you are prophesying. But this level of prophesying, when you do it, you must do it according to the measure of your faith. So if I want to say things that must happen in my life, I must improve the quality of my faith. I must improve the measure of my faith. Am I talking to somebody right here? So when I say I'm going to do this, because prophecy is when you say something that will happen. Okay? So you can foretell it to say, I see, okay? Let me just give an example. I see you by next year. Okay? I see you buying a house. Now when you buy a house next year, you say, Papa prophesied I would buy a house. But what you may not know is that I might have foretold you, or I might have what? Foretold you. You didn't hear me. Yeah, you didn't hear it. So, to foretell, it means I have heard God telling me. Now I have predicted. That's to foretell. To foretell, it's when I speak out of faith. Then I say, next year, I'm going to buy a house. And when you really buy it next year, okay, you say, Papa, you prophesied. It's true. Yeah. Only that the level of prophecy was not foretelling. It was a foretelling. You are there, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, it means I foretell. So, you can stand on the pulpit and tell a man, say, stand up. And a man stand up, say, oh, I see you're looking for a baby. Yes. After you leave here, you'll be pregnant. It could be that God has told you. Or you can what? Speak out of faith. Now, if you are speaking out of faith, don't dare it if your faith cannot move mountains. Am I talking to somebody right? So if I say it, that's why prophets who are accurate are prophets who have got so much faith. That's why God can not use you to speak into existence on something if your faith is weak. So God had to look for a man of faith. Then he went to Ezekiel and said, speak forth. What Ezekiel was talking to would happen 3,000 years later, because Israel had completely disappeared as a nation. For Israel to become a nation was around 1940s, when Israel became a nation again. It wasn't a nation. But what was happening, the dry bones which I mentioned, it's not really dry bones which were there. It was a nation that had disappeared. There was no Israel. After some time, they were taken to captivity, to exile, and there was no one living in Israel because they were all scattered. Are you understanding? So their land was taken by other people. So they ceased to exist. Now, God spoke to the future of Israel, that that time would come. Now, Ezekiel was taught to prophesy when Israel would be in that state. So Ezekiel went into the future. I'm not talking to somebody right here. When you read that story of dry bones, it actually says it. It says the dry bones we're talking about is the nation of Israel. It's the nation of Israel. But there was nobody who had faith to make Israel, that had ceased to be a nation, to come again into what? Into a nation, apart from Ezekiel. So God looked for a man of faith who can speak it into existence. So when Ezekiel spoke, it became a law and a verdict in the spirit. Much as they scattered, because of Ezekiel's prophecy, one day they came back. And that was 1947, when Israel became again what? A nation. There was no hope. Can they exist again? It was just a dry bones. It was a valley. There was no hope. But they became again a nation. Why? Because somebody spoke. Am I talking to somebody right here? Now, that was not foretelling. It was what? Forthtelling. So God showed him a situation. After God showing him a situation, God said, prophesy to them. Say you shall live. So there are things that God may actually want you to say. God may show you something around your family. And God may want you to say into the... Oh my God, I'm trying to talk to someone. Say faith. I refuse to be tempted tonight and teach about forthtelling. Let's go back to our teaching. I'm here. So to foretell is when you speak with the power. That's why many prophets, God uses prophets. Because if you look at Elisha, when he told a woman who didn't have money to pay for the debt which her husband took when he died, and they wanted to repossess the children, Elisha didn't say God is saying. He just spoke a declaration. Go in your house, take the oil, pour it. It wasn't God saying. He didn't say God has said. There was no angel who came and said, oh, Elisha, tell the woman. No. That's why prophets are men of faith. Am I talking to you? Prophets are men of faith. He just said it and it became a verdict. Those of you who think you have faith, your faith now completely is changing with this teaching. Yes. Find something in your life tonight. Yes. Speak a word into it. Yes. Am I talking to you? Yes. And your word shall become a verdict. Amen. We have got people who are waiting. God will do it. God will do it. That's not faith. Faith speaks. Faith has a tongue. Faith is a language. Am I talking to you? When you acquire faith, there are two things that happen. Number one, you don't need publicity. You don't need someone to speak to advertise you. Two, you don't need debate to convince anyone else. Before Jesus died, there was a debate. You would have to convince people. No, he's a son of God. He's what? He's what? All right? The day Jesus resurrected, debate died. Well, debate what?
Died.
Publicity died. What existed was only one, demonstration. We will not debate with you, we'll show you. When the Holy Ghost came, no more debate.
Hallelujah.
It's just what? Demonstration. So people right now, they are debating with you. And some of you are even debating with them. Oh no, he's a true prophet. Our church this. Shut up. Buy 5 houses. Demonstrate. Debate ceased when Jesus rose. When the Holy Ghost came, no more debate. I don't debate with the people. No. I don't say, oh no, well, this Jesus is true. I just demonstrate. Yes. How many want to demonstrate? Yes. Debate ceased. Yes. Are we debating?
No.
We don't need a publicity secretary. To announce us. All the disciples were hiding. Are you hearing me? Before the Holy Ghost came, they were all hiding. When the Holy Ghost came, hiding was over. Debate. What was there is silver and gold. We don't have what we have. In the name of Jesus, rise up. And the people who were debating, they saw a lame man walking. What will they do? The Bible says 5,000 people were added to the church on that day. How many people?
5,000.
Before demonstration, they were busy debating. And the people were arguing. When a one demonstration, 5,000 people were added. No one could debate with that. Go and demonstrate. I say go and demonstrate. Receive in the name of Jesus. Now, so we moved into, as we were explaining about faith, that faith is not just something that we should just be saying we have faith. It's beyond a speech. We don't just talk. Can you say this word after me? Say, I am a replica of heaven.
I don't just speak.
I echo heaven.
I echo heaven.
You know an echo?
Yes.
If I shout here, the voice goes and bounces back. So if I speak, I'm just an echo. It has been spoken away in the heaven. And me, I'm just an echo. You can't stop it. That voice is very dangerous. Faith, listen to me. People of faith have got an attitude. They're probably too nice. People of faith have got an attitude towards their situations. Can you imagine telling dry bones, you shall live? That's an attitude. It's not a debate. We're not debating. You shall what?
Leave.
You shall live. You shall say to this mountain, you shall be removed. Is there any debate there?
No.
Are we saying, is it possible for you to come out? We are speaking. Speak. Find something tonight. Speak into it. Tonight, speak into it. And begin to monitor progress. In the prophetic, we call it declaration tracking. we begin to track our declaration, like what Elijah did. So Elijah would pray. When he makes a prayer, you will send someone to go and track. Say, check. Is it happening? Say, no. You will pray again. So begin to track. After you speak something, find something tonight. Speak a word and begin to track it. Is it changing? The moment there will be a small change, that small cloud, it is done. Am I talking to you?
Yes.
It is what? It is done. So when we spoke about the faith, we then spoke about you can't have faith without knowing what's happening around you. Because faith is one of the weapons that are mentioned in the book of Ephesians chapter 6. It is amongst the weapons of warfare. And on all the weapons, faith is a shield. The Bible says what? Carrying a shield of what? Faith is a shield. On all the weapons, the only one shield is faith. So if there's a sickness coming, do you know how to stop it? Say, it will not come in my body. And if it already attacked you, say with me, it is coming out.
It is coming out.
The only weapon to use is faith. Faith, the Bible says, it stops all. Fear a dart of the enemy. Not some, all. So we use it to shield. Shield. So faith is important. Now, that we are explaining about how faith operates. We began to say, you begin now to start watching. You have to start watching what's happening around me. And now we looked at the scripture. Can I go ahead?
Yes.
Which speaks of God making Ezekiel a watcher. Behold, I make you what? A watchman over the house of what?
Israel.
And the word watchman there is the word shomar. Shomar, which means somebody who sees on a purpose to report what he has seen for action to be taken. Another word is the word ra, which means seeing on a purpose to cause an alertness and action. So God said, Ezekiel, I have set you as a watchman. Meaning when others are sleeping, you are a guard. If anything will happen to Israel, I'll blame you. So it's my house. If anything happens at my house, I will blame the watchman. What were you doing? What was happening? What happened? Did you see what happened? Because a watchman is supposed to observe. Am I talking to you? And when he observes, he has to sound an alarm. So I told you that God has called you to be watchmen. This is why Jesus Christ said what? Watch and pray. The word watch there is the word ra, which is the same word of shoma, of being somebody who when others are sleeping, you are watching. You're a watchman. In other words, Jesus took the same word which was given to Ezekiel to all of us, that we are all guards, we are all watchmen. And there are areas where God can make you to become what? A watchman. Number one, you can be a watchman over your ministry. Remember? So God can be showing you things that are happening in your ministry, not for you to gossip, but for you to act. Either in prayer or financially or an advice. Somebody said, mm-hmm. You can also be made a watchman in your own personal life. Things that are happening around you, they carry a message. Some listening prophet.
I'm listening, prophet.
the events happening around you, some of those events, God is speaking, but you're not hearing him. Because God, he made it in this way, in the prophetic world. Okay? The voice of God is non-verbal before it becomes vocal. God will speak through symbols, signs. Some of the things happening around you is a sign, and that sign has a message. I'm talking to someone, right? Imagine Jesus Christ's death. There is no single place where God said, I'm sending Jesus because I love the world so much. That's why I want him to die. That's why he has died. He didn't do that. What he did was just to send Jesus to die. From that death, John heard God speaking. Then he said, for God so loved the world. Where did John get the message? From an event. So events happening around you, they carry what? Message. This is why any meeting you do, anywhere you go, any meeting you have, after the meeting, if you pray, God speak to me what was happening in that meeting, you hear God more than hearing him before the meeting. In the prophetic, the voice of God is more clear post meetings. Didn't hear what I'm talking about. The voice of God becomes more clear after a meet. If you meet somebody, when you leave that place, when you pray, God speak to me. Who is that person? And what was happening with what he was saying? You start hearing things. God begin to talk into your mind a lot of what was happening in the meeting than when you pray to hear God before the meeting. Because the voice is more clear post events than it is pre-events. Are you here?
Yes.
So, God can set you to be a watchman over your own personal what? Life. There are things happening around you that don't make sense. Either there is an attack, or there is something, or God is saying something. Are you understanding?
Yes.
Imagine King Saul. He goes to a prophet to inquire of the missing donkeys. And the prophet welcomes him and puts him in his house. Not just his house, on the high table. And put him close to eat close with him. And he didn't even notice anything. And there were government officials there. The Bible says so. And King Saul, he's not even a king. He's just a boy looking for donkeys. And he's being put close to a prophet and eat close to a prophet. Only later to be told he will be a king. There are people who can actually be close to a man of God like this. They won't even pick. Is God talking to them? That is a responsibility they will have to carry. Events around you is a message from God. But you can actually twist it to work against you. Why are certain things happening around you in that way? Why the delay? So when God says, I have set you as a watchman, Jesus says, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The word temptation there, it is not the word for sin. It's not temptation for sin. It is the temptation for adversary, problems, trial. The word temptation in there. So God says to avoid going into some situations that are bad in your life, be a watchman. You're getting that?
Yes.
Watch what's happening around me. So you can only watch when you are operating from three places, which are, according to the scripture, one, gates, two, walls, and number three, towers. You are a watchman if you are set upon a tower to see. You are a watchman if you are guarding the walls. Or you are a watchman if you are standing at the gate. And this is according to the scripture. So in the spirit, there are prophetic watchtowers. There are prophetic walls. And there are prophetic gates. So when you are watching, and you are just watching because you are just there like, oh, I don't understand. Oh, everybody in my family, no one gets married. Nobody. That's That's crazy, because the reason why God is making you to see what's happening in your mind, you're not just thinking. It's God who's making to what?
See.
To see what's happening. That, we do not call it thinking in the prophetic. We call that prophetic intelligence. God is now giving you prophetic intelligence to start seeing what's happening in your family. Oh, no one gets married. But when you gather prophetic intelligence in the spirit, Satan makes you now to start using prophetic intelligence as a stress window where you begin to stress. Like, why us? Why are we like this? Yet when God was revealing that to you, he was revealing to you to act. To use it as prophetic intelligence. So there is a possibility, the voice of God in your mind, Satan can manipulate it. And you can start using it against yourself. And before we know it, you're using tablets of depression. Yet it came as a message from God to watch. So the moment you begin to watch your personal life, no one gets married, or there is no peace in my life. Oh, if there's no peace in your life, praise be to God, because you have just watched. After watching, then go back to Shema. What were they doing in the Bible when they Shema, when they are watching? The Bible says they were blowing a trumpet. Now, when they are standing upon a mountain as watchmen, and enemies are coming from Palestine, the moment they are coming against Israel, and this watchman is on top of the mountain, he sees the enemy coming. His job was so simple, to blow a trumpet. And that trumpet was an alarm. People in town, they will hear that the trumpet has been blown from our Shoma, who is watching over us. If he blows a trumpet, all soldiers, we are being alert. When the enemies are coming, they were just being defeated. Why? Because they had information. And soldiers prepared. Am I talking to you?
Oh, yes.
So the reason why the enemy are coming, when they come, they hit your family, they hit you, they hit your finances, and they prevail. It is because despite the intelligence you had, you did not act. Am I talking to you? Despite the what? The intelligence you had, you did not what?
Act.
So God reveals intelligence. Look what's happening with your mother. Look what's happening with your finances. Look what's happening with your children. You are using that information even to hate your children. Yet God wants you to act. For you to understand, okay, how is this problem coming to our family? It cannot just come. There must be an entry point. That entry point, it is known as a gate. The entry point is known as the access window. The access window, it is known as the gate. It is the same gate where if you do not control it, the enemy will use it to your direction. And if you control it, what happens? God uses it to your direction. Because in the spirit, there are gates. This is why you must watch over your gates. Somebody say with me, say, I am a gatekeeper. Are you here? Can you relate this teaching with your life?
Yes.
Are you able to relate this teaching with your life?
Yes.
So, the first gate we looked at, which is in the spirit or in the prophetic, we really monitor this gate very much. It is known as the gate of time. So the enemy can use time as a gate. He can come through you using what? Time. Somebody told me, he said, every December, someone has to die in their family. So there's a time gate when demons of death come to this family. Hello? And there are people who there's a spirit that attacks them every time they're in period. Time is so critical in the spirit. This is where when the devil observes your time gate, he sends a demon to stand at your time gate. Because time as a gate, The devil can use it, but also God uses it. We saw scripture, which says what? When the time is right. No, you didn't hear that. When the time is right, I, the Lord, will perform it. When the time is right. Meaning to say, even God will not do it without using time as access. You're not getting it. So God himself cannot do it. He will wait for the time he has put. The Bible says he has set time for his seasons. So when God says, this man, at this time, he will be there. What the devil does, he monitors that time. And then he comes at the time and put up a spirit. And there are three spirits which are responsible to stop the times of God in God's people. Number one, it is a demon of delay. So Satan can send a spirit of delay. What was supposed to be done in his life can be stopped by a demon of delay. An angel came and spoke to Daniel. He said, the day you prayed, your answer was given. But what happened? There was a delay. What delayed? Satan, a prince of Persia, withstood me. So what was he withstanding? He was not withstanding anything. Time. How do we know? Because they had a prophecy that after 70 years, they will leave and go back to Israel. But when 70 years finished, they were not leaving. Yet God had said 70 years. And it took one man to watch, and his name was Daniel. The Bible says, I, Daniel, understood by the books of Jeremiah that our time to stay in captivity was over, but we were not being released. So I sought the face of the Lord. I fasted. Now when he was fasting, the spirit that was blocking time appeared again and blocked the angel. So some of you, what the enemy is stopping, is not your miracle. It is time. There are things you are supposed to receive a long time ago. But who stopped it is Satan. How? He just stood on time. And there's a delay. A payment was supposed to be made into your account a long time ago. Until today, we are waiting for the payment. If this payment will happen, Papa, our lives will never be the same again. Who is holding it? It's a spirit of delay. And the demon of delay stands at the gate. Which gate? Gate of time. Number one. Number two, there's a spirit of stagnation, a demonic prince of stagnation. And this spirit will simply make a project stagnant. So there are people right now who are trying to do something where there's a relationship, it's not moving. Things are just what? Stagnant. Who's stopping it? The demon of stagnation. How? It is standing at the gate of what? Time. Because your access point is what? Time. And the third spirit I told you is a spirit of almost. And these three demons always interrupt the gates of time. I almost did it. I almost got a job. I almost got promoted. I almost got married. I almost. I'm not talking to somebody right here. But praise be to God. Praise be to Jesus. Sometimes I'm a gatekeeper. Say, from today, I stand at my gates. I control what happens over my gates. I command every delay, every stagnation, every almost at my gates to come out. I evict every demonic spirit, every demonic prince to come out. I speak to my time. I speak to my time. I speak to my time. Open! Open! In the name of Jesus. Now, time, in the spirit, also in the prophetic, the angels responsible for time. You are there, right? When you read in the Bible, you're not going to hear this name mentioned. Okay? But when you read the book of Enoch, you hear an angel known as Kroniel, who's responsible for time, an archangel. Because time get. I'm telling you, even Jesus Christ, he said it about time. He said, oh, you want me to do this miracle? He said, it's not yet my time. Because what will usher Jesus into ministry is the time of get. When the get, boom, arrived of time, Jesus began ministry. And there was also time get. How many days will be in the grave? Are you getting it?
Yes.
Keep your, please, I'm begging you, watch over your gates. There are things that are supposed to be done by now, but there's a spirit stopping it. Some say, I will no longer wait.
I will no longer wait.
Say, I'm taking authority.
I am taking authority.
I am taking charge
over my gates.
Now, number two, the second gate I spoke to you. I'm repeating this teaching again and again because I know it's so deep. And most of you will need these revisions as they are making you to understand what you didn't understand in the last time. Now, number two, the gate which we use in the prophetic to monitor closely, it is known as the bloodline gate. There are things having access to you because of your bloodline. Some of you, you couldn't be suffering the way you are suffering now if you are born from a rich family. Poverty has access to you because of what? Are you getting me? Now imagine this. When you were going to school, you thought, you know what, I'm going to help my family, you know, and you went, you did the school, you have got degrees, you have got everything else, but the poverty is not living. Some of you thought, when I start business, things will change. You are doing business, but nothing is what? Nothing is moving. So, we have to now dig deep. We saw scriptures, several scriptures already. We're going to go into those verses again. We saw into verses and scriptures. We looked at different verses. And we saw that indeed, there are things which can have access to you. And I told you this before. When one is born again, it does not mean that your DNA has changed. The DNA of your grandmother and of you is still the same. This is why you have to act. You have to act. Salvation will not bring money in your bank account. Salvation is for eternity. When you die, you have to go to heaven. But when you are here on earth, Jesus tells you, when you are now a believer, handle the world. How did he say it? Those who shall believe in my name, they shall cast out evils. So there are evils in our bloodlines we must cast out.
Yes.
Someone say, cast out.
Cast out.
There are evils. And I told you this. I said, a very good example is so simple. If a person had asthma in your family, asthma moves in the blood. Another one also, if you have asthma, trust me, it's a threat. It's a threat. Epilepsy is a threat. Now, if we see these things happening even in the church, people who are born again, who pray, who what, but these things still coming through their blood. Because they must be cast out. Jesus says, you shall cast out evils. He didn't say the evil want to come because you are a believer. He says, when you are a believer, if you believe in my name, you shall cast out evils. So every evil in your family must be cast out. Every evil in your bloodline must be cast out. Now, in what I explained to you, I said bloodline, we saw even in Leviticus. The Bible says, well, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. Okay? 17:11 of Leviticus. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. See the life of the flesh. So, now you find out that in your family, there is no millionaire. There's no millionaire. So when we are monitoring, the bloodline gets, we look around. What's happening in my family? You find no one is a millionaire in the family. Now, I'm also doing business and I'm not making it. Now, what is finding me? It is finding me because the access point, the entry point, is the spirit of poverty in my family. Some of you have got sugar. Some of you have got BP, which is not because you did something wrong for it to find you. But if we may track from your family background, it is there. In other words, it is coming to you because it is following its threats. Someone say with me, I am casting this nonsense out.
I am casting this nonsense out.
So the gate of bloodline, listen to me. You must be very careful. I gave an example. Abraham lied. Abraham, he said, this one is not my wife, it's my sister. His son Isaac also lied that this one is not my wife, it's my sister. The son of Isaac, Jacob, lied that he was Esau. Are you sure you're Esau? My father, touch my skin. The grandfather lied. The father lied. Jacob lied. The sons of Jacob, 11 of them agreed, all of them, 11. Not one, 11 children lied to say our brother has been killed with a lion. You're not getting it. So they lie from, are you understanding?
Yes.
They lie from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the 11. It was moving in the blood. And I told you, some of you can lie, but your lies are coming from your great-grandmother. She was a silly liar. She was such a liar. And you wonder why you can't just make a statement without adding a lie. You had a wicked uncle before. Anger moves in the bloodline. Some of you have got anger. You don't even know where your anger is coming from. Am I talking to you? Am I speaking to you?
Yes.
Addictions. You're wondering where this addiction is coming from. Do you know the entry point? The bloodline gate. This is why Jesus Christ, knowing this gate very well, he also came to shed what? His blood. Because the blood of Jesus now speaks for us at our bloodline gates. I'm trying to talk to somebody right here. The blood of Jesus speaks for us at our bloodline what?
Yes.
Can you imagine that God had to send a son to shed blood? That tells you a lot in the spirit of bloodline gets. For by one blood, sin entered the earth. And by one blood, salvation came to the whole world. If sin entered through blood, then what is blood in the spirit? It's a gate. Things can enter through the what? The blood. Say with me, I stand at my gates. Whatsoever is having access to me through my bloodline, check out. I evict you. I command you out. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I use the bloodline. The bloodline gate. Of Jesus Christ's blood.
I speak.
I am cleared.
I am
covered.
I am
delivered
by the blood
of Jesus Christ. If we have things by the blood of Jesus, when we say by the blood of Jesus, if we have things by the blood, then it tells you that blood becomes what? An access, an entry point. An entry point is a gate or a door. Are you still here? Now, after we spoke about that, we went into what we call what? Human gates. Say human gates.
Human gates.
Humans are gates. And these gates, either they are satanic agents or they are godly agents. Either these humans, God can bring them in your life to become a gate whereby you have got access to a certain level because of somebody you met. Or the devil may bring in humans to block you or to destroy you. Or in fact, even to kill you. So humans are gates. Say with me, humans are gates. There are people that you meet in life, your whole life will change. Can I invoke them? Let's talk about, say gates. Now, the scripture says what? So, these gates could be satanic agents or godly agents. In Israel, Jesus would never do ministry because they were Pharisees and Sadducees. These men had the power, including Herod, had the power to stop Jesus' ministry. Because these men, for Jesus to do ministry, he needs them as a what? An entry point. This is why the book of Psalms 24 verse 7, David, he saw it in the spirit and he handled them, those Pharisees. And he said, you Pharisees move out so that Jesus can do ministry. In verse 7 of Psalm 24, lift up your heads, all you gates. Who are gates here? The Pharisees. So they were told in the spirit to lift up, to move out, and the King of Glory will come in. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord, mighty in battle. He is the King of Glory. Lift up your heads, or you gates. Why? Because these Pharisees, they were the gates. They would have stopped Jesus' ministry, but they were evicted in the spirit thousands of years before Jesus Christ was born. Jesus wasn't just born. There was a lot of clearance. A lot of prophetic clearance before he was born. Don't just start your business. Do a lot of clearance. Don't just say, when I get married. Do a lot of clearance. Some say, I release clearance. The things you meet. Are you here?
Yes.
So, now read the scripture. What does it say? It says what? Lift up your heads, all you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors. What does it mean? There were doors in Israel which were everlasting. And they were just closed to ministry. They were not opening. They are just closed like this. Everlasting doors. Listen to me. Some of you are facing everlasting doors in your family. No one is making it in that area because in that area there's a what? An everlasting door that is closed. They were told in the spirit, lift up your heads, all your gates. Be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. The gates which were being spoken, there were humans who would have stopped Jesus' ministry. And they did not. Jesus began ministry and finished. No one stopped him because in the spirit there was a clearance. Once again, raise up your hand and say, I speak clearance.
I speak clearance.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Every human gate.
Every human gate.
Packaged by the enemy.
Packaged by the enemy.
To stop my progress.
To stop my progress.
To stop my life.
To stop my life.
Be cleared now.
Be cleared now.
Yes.
In Psalms, are you there?
Yes.
140. All right. From verse 1 to 13, it speaks of David's plea to God for protection from evil and violent men who plot mischief, sharpen their tongues like serpents and set traps. So they are evil men. Please, be very careful. Are you understanding? Are you understanding?
Yes.
Are you understanding?
Yes, Dad.
When they began ministry, listen to me. They didn't clear this. The apostles, they didn't clear it. And do you know who was captured and killed with a sword? James. James was captured when they began ministry. When Jesus is now gone, they began, they didn't clear. One man was captured and was killed. And then they also captured Peter. But now, the disciples were now clever now. They cleared. They said, no way, no way. We are standing at the gate.
Yes.
And when they made clear us in the spirit, Peter came out. Say with me again, I speak clearance.
I speak clearance.
I'm telling you, there are people right now being set by the enemy to mess your ministry up, to mess your business up, to mess your calling, to mess your marriage, to mess. They are evil people. We speak clearance.
We speak clearance.
Stand at your gate. Human gate. Say human gate.
Human gates.
On human gates, it's not only evil humans. I've also said they're also godly what?
Godly human.
They are people you're supposed to meet. They are connections you're supposed to have that must turn around your life. But what the devil does, he always blocks all good people. As I'm talking to you, the only people you meet are only bad people. There is only one opportunity that is going to change your entire life. When you control your gates, you'll be so shocked. Am I talking to you?
Oh, yes.
Am I speaking to you?
Oh, yes.
On this gate, Satan uses three spirits. Three spirits on human gates. I don't know if you're getting it. Three spirits. Number one is a spirit of rejection. When this spirit has been posed against you, not only will be rejected from people, but whatsoever you do, guess what? Rejected. So you find out that you apply for a job, you are rejected. You find a partner for marriage, always rejection. Or sometimes you start this business, it doesn't even go far. You start another business, it's rejected. You try this, it's rejected. When you notice that, just know that there's a human gate posed by the enemy to stop you from moving forward. Am I talking to you?
Yes.
I told you there was one man who came, and this man is from Burundi. He said, Papa, I had a church, and my church all of a sudden began to go down, to go down, to go down, and now I closed. And I said to him, there's a human gate you are dealing with. Satan is fighting your ministry by standing at the gate. And I prayed for him. And he went back. Right now, his ministry has taken over the whole Burundi. Because Satan can control your what? You must always say, lift up you heads, or you get. Be lifted up, you everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Am I talking to somebody? We are not talking about the King of glory who shall come in. We're not talking about Jesus who shall come in. He already came. You can put your name now. Lift up your heads, or you get. And Diane, the child of God, put your name,
Diane,
shall come in. Who is this child of God? Major one. Put your name,
Diane,
shall come in. You must speak to your gates to be lifted. You must speak to your gates to open. Speak divine clearance. Otherwise, you feel the rejection. You open a business, it's shut. You try ministry, resistance. You start this. Am I talking to somebody right here? You'd be so shocked. You apply, always rejection. You start this, rejection. Promotion, rejection. You start your children, they're all being rejected. Every opportunity they want, your children, they're being rejected to opportunities. There's a human gate your family is dealing with. But tonight I stand as a prophet. I stand in agreement with you. We speak to your gates in the name of Jesus. Open now. We command every satanic agent to come out. We speak divine clearance. Divine clearance in Jesus' name. So number one, watch out for the spirit of rejection. Number two, the spirit of silence. Jesus calls it the mute spirit. When Jesus was casting out a demon, he said, "You dumb and mute spirit, I command you, come out." The fact that Jesus called out a spirit by the name of mute spirit, it tells us that in the world of the spirit, there is a demon that exists by the name of Cyrus or mute. How does this spirit operate? This demon operates through human gates. These are demons behind the Cyrus, which you are getting right now, the silent treatment. Imagine that you have already crossed the deal. All this business is going to move. You have signed everything else. After the meeting, they are now silent. You are following up, they are silent. But we agreed. We thought the payment would be done by now. They are what now? Say, you silent spirit.
You silent spirit.
I command you, come out.
I command you, come out.
Silent. Human gets. You feel sometimes you apply for jobs. That in fact, better when they answer and reject. Then you know it says demon of rejection. But in fact, you apply, not even an answer. And your friend applies. They are picked. And the qualifications are even lower than yours. Because you are dealing with the spirit of what? Silence. Operating at which gate? The human gate. Say
silent.
This spirit, it can operate in a marriage. As I'm talking now, either the wife is just being silent or the husband is being silent. You are getting a silent treatment right now. You must check out these demons. Am I talking to you? They promised you something and now they are silent. Say human gates.
Human gates.
These are access points, entry points. Why your life is like that? There's a human gate somewhere. And it's operating. And how it operates. This is how we know. Now, I'm teaching things that I know happens in the spirit. When you guys come say, "Papa, I need a prayer." I say, "What do you want?" "I need deliverance." When I check in the spirit, these are the things we check. So when I'm saying, I've prayed for you, I know exactly what I have prayed for. Some of you, all you need is just an opening at that gate of human gate. There is a silence somewhere. When we deal with that, they will talk. I'm speaking to you. They will what? When Jesus said, "You mute spirit, come out," the man who was not talking began to what? There are people, they're not emailing you. They're not sending you emails. After we say out, they'll email you. There are people who are not talking. After we command a silent spirit, they will talk to you. Oh my God, I'm talking to somebody right here. Karuve hetara monde yabahata. Sura hande maha. Somebody said, talk.
Talk.
these spirits exist. Jesus said, you mute spirit. People think it only attacks people who then they are not talking. No, it's a spirit. It exists. People think, oh, it's a demon that attacks people. And then when it attacks people, they stop talking. Shut up. These are demons. They exist. They can attack a person physically and the person will stop talking. Or they can attack people who are supposed to talk into your life. Because they know when they will talk, your life will change. So I speak to my gates.
I speak to my gates.
Clearance.
Clearance.
Time gates.
Time gates.
Bloodline gates.
Bloodline gates.
Human gates.
Human gates.
Clear.
Clear.
In the spirit.
In the spirit.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
The last spirit operating on this gate. The last spirit that operates on the human gate. The first one I've told you, right? The spirit of rejection. The second spirit, the silent spirit. And the third spirit is a spirit of confusion. This demon, it operates in two ways. One, it operates within you. So it makes you become your own enemy. It can confuse you and make you make wrong decisions. It can confuse you and do certain things you're not supposed to do. Somebody say with me, say out.
Out.
As I'm talking to you right now, there are people who are in trouble because of some decisions they made. All what the devil had to do was to use you as a human to make the mistake yourself. Number two, it operates externally where it may cause confusions between you, your boss. It can cause confusions between you and your ministry partner. You serve God properly together. All of a sudden, there are confusions between you and your business partner. You are doing business properly. Everything is moving well. Before you know it, there are misunderstandings and confusions. It can confuse the whole clan. The whole family can be fighting when this spirit comes in. Am I speaking to you?
Yes.
These are demons. When they were building the Tower of Babylon, okay? When they were building a Tower of Babylon, the only thing God knew could stop them was confusion. Listen to me. Don't take this spirit lightly. Listen to me. Most of you, either it is operating externally or it's operating within. As I'm talking to you right now, you are confused. You don't know which step to take, what to do. I command that demon to come out. You will never remain confused. I have spoken as a prophet.
Yes.
You will never be confused again. So I refuse to be confused.
I refuse to be confused.
Now listen to me. How this spirit operates. I just want you to understand. Now, say confusion.
Confusion.
Are you here or you're home? In Acts of Apostles 19, from verse 23 to 40, it speaks of how a demon of confusion attacked people. When it attacked the people, it made them so confused and get angry against Paul, even though they didn't even know why they were hating Paul. The Bible says there were people who didn't even know. All they were doing is to shout, "We don't want Paul. Great is Artemis." They didn't even know why. Because the spirit of confusion works with a sister demon of influence. Am I talking to you? Jesus says when a demon is out, okay, it comes back to check. When it sees that it's clean, it can come back. It goes to take its sisters and brothers. The demon of confusion works with a spirit of influence. After confusing you, a demon of influence can influence you to make a wrong choice. After confusing people, the demon of influence can influence people to fire you or to leave you. As I'm talking to you right now, some of you have lost good relationships. Some of you, it's like you don't even understand what really went wrong. You can't understand. The enemy has confused your children. And after confusing your children, influenced them. Some of you, the demon of confusion has confused your wife. After confusing her, influenced her. As I'm talking to you now, she's no longer the wife you used to know. As I'm talking to you now, he is no longer the husband you used to know. Listen to me. You must watch over your gates. There's a demonic spirit at your gate. This is not the gate that God opened for you. They're supposed to be a good husband. They're supposed to be good opportunities. But the enemy is turning things to be wrong, to be bad, to be satanic. But in the name of Jesus, we have discovered you, Satan. You are exposed tonight. And we bind you in the name of Jesus. We command you to come out. Somebody shout, come out. Second Thessalonians 3 verse 2.
And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For not all have faith.
They are wicked people. Unreasonable people. You need deliverance from such type of people. I understand the Bible is not saying deliver us from demons. Deliver us from humans. Are you understanding? There are some confusions happening around you. Orchestrated by demons. Listen to me. Human gates are important. Because imagine these are people supposed, okay, let's just put it in this way. Imagine this person wants to help you. All of a sudden, an influence, whether it will come through a gossip, someone went to them, whatsoever it is, all of a sudden they think you are no longer a right person they can help. You are no longer a right person they can hire. What happened? There's a confusion, just like that. Everything was okay. What just happened? I have seen it. Young people who are coming in the prophetic that I'm raising them up, all of a sudden they're confused. They go, no, Papa, God is telling me that I should take another journey. I said, eh? God is saying I should take another journey. I just know that this, because the devil knows that the gate of this man is a major one. And the devil come and cause what? Confusion. And then an influence. And I feel sorry now when I look at them. Their ministries are like a home cell. You must be very careful. A business which was supposed to close properly, you had the right people, everything was okay. All of a sudden, there is a what? A confusion. A lot of explanation. Oh, send us another document. Oh, send us this. What's happening? A lot of confusions. Just know there is a stranger at your gate. Instead of stressing, go and become a gatekeeper. So I'm a gatekeeper.
I'm a gatekeeper.
I'm in charge of what happens over my gates.
What happens over
I don't stress. I execute. I speak over my gates.
I decree over my gates.
Let's read this scripture quickly. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33.
For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. As in all the churches of the saints.
Someone say confusion.
Confusion.
Wherever there's confusion, there is no God. Some of you is actually who's confused. For you to know, listen to me. Some of you are even confused. I don't know now what to do with my husband. Is this my... Why are you even entertaining confusion? Like, you're so confused. Just know the enemy is up to something. He refused to be confused. Every confusion, every rejection, every silence over your gates will no longer have a place again. Say, my children are safe.
My children are safe.
My family is safe.
My family is safe.
My life is safe.
My life is safe.
I speak clearance.
I speak clearance.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
So, much as there are demons at the gate of the human gate, the three demons of rejection, silence, and confusion, they are also God's agents over there that God packages. And these, we call them, number one, destiny helpers. Oh, are you here, right?
Yes.
Destiny what?
Helpers.
They are destiny helpers standing in there. They are what?
Destiny helpers.
God packages his people and put them there. And these people becomes destiny helpers. And most of you, if the enemy wants to finish you up, he removes and blocks your destiny helpers. Understand this. Destiny helpers. Do you know people who help someone, those women who help someone to deliver a child? We call them midwives. You know them?
Yes.
That's number two. They are prophetic midwives in the spirit. Some of you, you started something already, but it's failing to come out properly. You need a prophetic midwife who will help you for that thing to come out. God can send people in your life who can just help you to just finish what you started. As I'm talking to you right now, you are not meeting them because you're not in charge over your gates. Midwives, their job is not there when you are pregnant. They will not show up when you are all that. They will show up when you are in pain. Am I talking to you?
Yes.
They will show up when you are what?
In pain.
When you are in labor. That's when they will show up. There are people right now who God has packaged in your financial debt that you have, right? In the pain of financial debt, when they will appear, even your debts will be paid.
Amen.
I'm trying to talk to somebody right now. There are people they are calling is at the verge of finishing. They've got a calling, but it's finishing. All you need is a prophetic midwife. And some, this teaching I'm teaching right now, is a midwife already. It's helping them, like, I was about to give up. So prophetic midwives are very important. Listen to me. The enemy will block you from such people who must appear when you are in trouble, who appears when you are about to give up. If I had the time, I would open scriptures. All right, but that I've just spoken this. If you read the Bible, you can now start relating in the Bible. So when that one was about to give up, when that one appeared, so that was that. Am I talking to you? These are people who show up when you needed them. Am I speaking to you?
Yes.
There was one man who God packaged to be a midwife of David. When David was in trouble, his men were hungry. The man refused to help David. Yet in the spirit, he was supposed to help David. David said, I'm going to kill him. The Bible says, God says, no. I'll kill him for you. There are people who God has packaged. And trust you me, these people, I'm saying this, these people are there, but the enemy has blocked them. As I'm talking to you right now, the people you think they can help you, when you tell them, they gossip you. They use your information to gossip about you because they are not the right people who God has anointed to help you at this hour. But after my prayer, they will appear.
Yes.